result. जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज कचार्य अष्टोत्तरिषत् श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज कचार्य अष्टोत्तरिषत् श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Neshtiki कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 एंड 5। तत्रोपनीतबलयो रवेर्दीपम् इवाद्रितः आत्मा रामं पूर्णकामं निजलाभेन नित्यदा। तत्रोपनीतबलयो रवेर्दीपम् इवाद्रितः आत्मा रामं पूर्णकामं निजलाभेन नित्यदा। तत्रोपनीतबलयो रवेर्दीपम् इवाद्रितः आत्मा रामं पूर्णकामं निजलाभेन नित्यदा। Matajis, text 5. प्रीति उत्फुल्ल मुखः प्रोचुर हर्ष गद्गदया गिरा पितरं सर्वसुहृदं अवितारं इवार्भकः। सो ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। द सिटीजन्स अराइव बिफोर द लॉर्ड विद देयर रिस्पेक्टिव प्रेजेंटेशंस, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one, who by his own potency incessantly supplies others. These presentations were like the offering of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as wards welcome their guardian and father. Purport: the Supreme Lord Krishna is described here in as Atma Rama. He is self-sufficient and there is no need for him to seek happiness from anything beyond himself. He is self-sufficient because his very transcendental existence is total bliss. He is eternally existent. He is all cognizant and all blissful. Therefore, any presentation, however valuable it may be, is not needed by him. But still, because he is the well-wisher for one and all, he accepts from everyone everything that is offered to him in pure devotional service. It is not that he is in want for such things, because the things are themselves generated from his energy. The comparison is made herein that making offerings to the Lord is something like offering a lamp in the worship of the sun god. Anything fiery and illuminating is but an emanation of the energy of the sun. And yet to worship the sun god, it is necessary to offer him a lamp. In the worship of the sun, there is some sort of demand made by the worshipper. But in the case of devotional service to the Lord, there is no question of demand from either side. It is all a sign of pure love and affection between the Lord and the devotee. The Lord is the supreme father of all living beings. And therefore, those who are conscious of this vital relation with the Lord can make filial demands from the Father. And the Father is pleased to supply the demands of such obedient sons without bargaining. The Lord is just like the desired tree, and from him everyone can have everything by the causeless mercy of the Lord. As the Supreme Father of the Lord, however, does not supply to a pure devotee what is considered to be a barrier to the discharge of devotional service. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord can rise to the position of unalloyed devotional service by his transcendental attraction. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Svapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this is Krishna returning to Dwarka. The battle of Kurukshetra is over. And Krishna's nature is, although the scriptures describe that he has nothing to do, but his nature is that he is always working towards the satisfaction of his devotees. He is living in Dwarka, but when the Pandavas needed him, he was with them. And now the battle is over. He realizes that the residents of Dwarka also are hankering for his association and Krishna is returning. And how Krishna is welcomed by the Dwarkavasis is being described here by Shukadeva Goswami. So when the Lord enters Dwarka, he blows his conch shell, Panchajanya. And all the residents of Dwarka, they become ecstatic. Because Krishna is their life and soul. And Krishna was away for such a long time. And his return now was as if life was returning to their lifeless bodies. So they run, all of them run to welcome Krishna with presentations. So now Srila Prabhupada explains here that Lord Krishna is also known as Atma Ram. That means he is self-satisfied. He doesn't need any outside source to give him happiness. He is also known as Apta Kama. He is without any desires. But still, when there is pure love, the feelings of awe and reverence are absent. And whenever there is love, there has to be some exchange. So just like a child loves his mother, and that exchange is spontaneous. As it is said, to love means to serve means to please. If there is love, then there is naturally an inclination to serve the object of our love. Nobody has to come and teach us. So similarly, because there is pure love between the Lord and his devotees, so the devotees want to offer the best they have to the Lord. And the Lord also loves his pure devotees so much that he also wants to serve them. He also wants to offer them the best. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports that Krishna always reserves the best for his devotees. The best things he only gives to his devotees. So, even though he is the maintainer, he is the creator, he is the proprietor of everything, but when a devotee offers him anything in pure love, Krishna accepts it as something very significant. So he's not so much worried about the externals, what is offered. He's mainly concerned with the bhava or the intention with which it is offered. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita he says, even if you offer me something like patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. Now Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, tulsi leaves, water, fruit or a flower. But if it is offered with love and devotion, then Krishna accepts it. That is the main ingredient. But if we read the episode of Dhruva Maharaj, when Narad Muni is instructing him as to how he could worship the Lord in the forest, he says, according to time, place and circumstance, he says, you can offer him roots, fruit. And even if nothing is available, you can offer him freshly grown grass. So now, here it is about the patram. Even if it is not tulsi leaf, but that's all, if a person has freshly grown grass, and if it is offered with love and devotion, Krishna will accept that also. He's that kind of master. Now in this world we find so many masters, suppose it's their birthday or marriage anniversary, and if we take for them as present some freshly grown grass, they will not be impressed. But Krishna, because he's only worried about the intention. The whole world sees us outside in, but Krishna sees us inside out. And because that is the main qualification, therefore anyone, whether one is a child, a grown-up man, from any status of life, whether somebody is rich or poor, they may not be able to offer anything externally, but the bhav is something that everybody can offer. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the examples of Dhruva, Prahlad. We find the example of Gajendra. Externally, the body of an elephant is not that great. He is considered less intelligent, dumb animal. But he offered beautiful prayers with intention. And then Lord Vishnu actually arrives to protect him. He is offering him a lotus flower. The Lord accepts that. So, even if he cannot offer anything externally, because the Lord is only concerned with the intention, if offerings are made within the mind also, the Lord will accept it. So there cannot be any excuse for a person to not engage in devotional service because of lack of facilities. And when people say, I cannot do it, I don't have this, I don't have time, it's basically lack of desire. Because the Lord accepts even those things which are offered within the mind if they are offered with love. There's a beautiful story in the Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada gives reference. There was a Brahmana who wanted to offer some sweet rice one day to Krishna. But he had no means. Poor. But he knew this secret. At least let me offer within the mind. So he collected the best of ingredients, the best quality rice, milk, sugar, some camphor, and he started cooking. So when the sweet rice is cooked, generally it is best when served cold or at least at a relatively lower temperature. So he wanted to check whether it's still hot or it is offerable at the moment. So he put his finger inside the sweet rice and it got burnt because it was hot. And when suddenly he came out of his meditation, he saw his finger was actually burnt. And meanwhile, Lord Vishnu, sitting with Mother Lakshmi, started laughing. And Mother Lakshmi asked him, why are you laughing? He said, look at that Brahmana. He's trying to offer me some sweet rice, but he burnt his finger. And it is explained at that very moment, the Lord sent a celestial plane from Vaikuntha to bring that Brahmana back. Similar incident we find in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. There was a devotee of the name Narasimhananda Brahmachari. So, he would always serve the Lord in his meditation. And when he would sit in his meditation, whatever he would offer, it would materialize in front of the Lord. The Lord would actually come to accept his offering. Once when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, so he started making a very, very special road on which Lord Chaitanya would walk. So in his meditation, he's planting the best of trees. He was constructing beautiful gardens, trees laden with fruit, and the pathway was just bedecked with jewels. And when Lord Chaitanya was actually walking, he could see all this manifesting in front of him. So, never an excuse. Sometimes people give an excuse that, oh, I am going through this, I don't have the means, or I am traveling, so I cannot offer any service to the Lord. But the Lord has made it very simple. Because he is bhavagrahi, so the bhav is something that matters. No matter where we are in the world, we can always offer something to the Lord. And the Lord accepts it. Not just the Lord, but other personalities also. But there is a story of a devotee named Chandidas. Now Chandidas, as the name suggests, he was a great devotee of Goddess Kali. and he had his younger brother who was a devotee of Krishna. And he used to worship a Shaligram Shila. So one day, Chandidas, he was maintaining a beautiful garden, and beautiful flowers would grow every morning. He would pick those flowers and offer it to Goddess Kali. And his younger brother would always wonder, why can't I offer such beautiful flowers to my deity, my lord? But his elder brother wouldn't give it, because he was only, oh, it's only for my goddess Kali. So one fine day, this younger brother of Chandidas, he said, all right, if he's not giving me these flowers to offer, at least in my mind, let me offer all the flowers that have blossomed today to my Shaligram. And he did that. And that morning, when Chandidas picked the flowers and he offered it to Goddess Kali, she actually gave him darshan. She appeared right at that moment. And she said, I am so pleased with you. Ask for a benediction. So Chandidas was bewildered. What happened suddenly? Because for all these years I have been worshipping you, today suddenly what happened that you are so pleased? And she said, because today you offered me a flower which is the Mahaprasad of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, I am so happy. I feel blessed with this offering. So ask for a benediction. And Chandidas was thinking, so is it really true that you get happier when what is offered to the Lord is offered to you? She said, of course, we all are happy. Then Chandidas decided to become a Vaishnava. And then we know how some exalted scriptures, poems, bhajans Chandidas has written that even Lord Chaitanya would use to relish. But all this started because somebody could not physically offer, make an offering to the Lord, but within his mind he could see something special and he offered it within his mind. And the Lord accepted it. The Lord really accepts. So here also, Srila Prabhupada is writing, Krishna is not in need, but still when we offer, he accepts. So we offer service to Krishna not because he needs it, but because we need it. Whenever an offering is made to a great personality, we are the ones who benefit. We are the ones who get blessed. He is Atmaram, Aptakam, free from many desires, because he has unlimited energies. And just by his desire, all his energies, they get into action and everything manifests. Just by his desire, he creates this whole material creation. And just by his desire, everything is just finished. So, when he is engaged in various leelas with his devotees, it is simply an exchange of love. It should not be seen as some material attachment like any other ordinary human being. In Vrindavan, there is a nice story where Krishna himself substantiates this point which is being made in this purport. So the gopis, they were carrying their milk products. They wanted to go to the other side of the Jamuna. On their way, which could usually happen, they meet Krishna. And there was nothing, no boatman. So they requested Krishna, can you help us cross this river? Krishna said, oh, that's very simple. So Dinabandhu Prabhu tells this story. He said, you go to Jamuna and just tell her, if Krishna is a perfect brahmachari, then give us passage, allow us to cross. And the gopis were thinking, he's a liar. He's always having pastimes with us and spending so much time with us. How can this be? They just laughed, but then they went and said this to Jamuna, if Krishna is a perfect brahmachari, allow us to go. And immediately Jamuna just parted and gave passage. The gopis were amazed. But anyway, they didn't think much about it. They just crossed the river. They went to the other side. And there they came across the ashram of Durvasa Rishi. Durvasa means two things. One who subsists only on the juice from Durva grass. And Durvasa also means one who is shabbily dressed, not very nicely dressed. Now that's a sophisticated way of saying, but Durvasa Rishi doesn't wear any clothes. But nobody can call him by that name, so they say Durvasa, badly dressed. Maybe because he gets so angry so easily. So they say shabbily dressed, not nicely dressed. So as soon as the gopis saw a saintly person, they offered all that they had to Durvasa Rishi. Please accept this, please accept this. So it's a fact that the Lord, when He accepts our offerings, we get blessed. And when His representatives, they accept our offerings, we receive countless blessings in return, if they simply accept. So we don't have to have, like in the movies or TV serials we have seen, somebody has to stand like this and a light comes out of his hand and he has to bathe us, then only we are blessed. As soon as a saintly personality accepts our offering, we are blessed. So we don't have to like literally force him to put his hand on our head or anything like that. So Durvasa Rishi, he ate everything up. Whatever they had, in one moment, everything was finished. And the gopis offered their pranam. Now they wanted to return. They requested Durvasa Rishi, how will we go back? There is Jamuna in the middle. So don't worry, just tell Jamuna, if Durvasa Rishi has not eaten anything for months, give us passage. And they were like, what is happening today? So they said, anyways, let's try. They went and Jamuna again gave passage. Divided into two halves and gopis could easily cross. Then they spoke to Krishna. Said, you said, you are a perfect Brahman. But before they went, when they saw this happening, Jamuna gave passage. When we said Krishna is a perfect Brahmachari, and we said Durvasa Rishi, if he has not eaten for months, give us passage, both the times. So they were like, tino mile hue hain, the same party. So they said, ek thag guru, ek thag chela, dono ke beech mein thagni. Ke guru bhi thag hai, guru is a thief, Durvasa. Uska chela, Krishna is also a thief, chaliya, and he is a cheater. And dono ke beech mein there is another cheater, that Jamuna, who is listening to what we are saying, although it is not true, and she is also agreeing, accepting it. But then they meet Krishna and inquired about this secret. So Krishna says, we are not lying. Neither is Durvasa lying, nor am I lying. The thing is, even though Durvasa Rishi, or even though I associate with you regularly, but I'm not attached. I'm not in need of that association. So attachment, detachment is an affair of the heart. So I associate with you just to reciprocate with your desires, just to fulfill your desire, just to reciprocate with your love. I am completely self-satisfied. I don't have to depend on any outside sources for my pleasure. But I reciprocate with love. Similarly, Durvasa Rishi is also right, or Jamuna is right when she gave passage. Because even though he has eaten, but he is not attached to that offering. It is as good as not eating. So he's not eaten. Because ultimately everything is what's happening inside. So even if he had not offered, he was anyways living and subsisting on some Durva grass. So therefore, I am still a perfect brahmachari because even though I have to, but I am not attached. I am just simply reciprocating. And Durvasa, even though he has eaten, but he is not attached. He is also satisfied without that offering also. So he is therefore not eaten. The gopis wanted to associate with Krishna. Therefore Krishna reciprocated. That's why the Ras Leela happens. Sometimes people find faults with Krishna, but it is simply a reciprocation of love. It's not that he wanted. He married 16,108 queens in Dwarka. Some people see it as a controversy, but none of the queens in Dwarka were proposed by Krishna. They wanted to marry. Out of 16,100 queens were actually captives of a demon called Narakasur. And they were praying to Krishna constantly to come and save them. Krishna went to kill that demon and thus he rescued them. But in those times nobody else would accept them. They had stayed away from home for such a long time in the captivity of a demon. So they requested Krishna to give them shelter. And Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, also he was playing the part of a Kshatriya. So anybody who seeks shelter must be protected. So Krishna married them. The other eight queens also, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Nagnachitti, Mitravinda, Jambavati, all the eight queens, they also at some point desired to marry Krishna. And Krishna is always very eager to fulfill the desires of his devotees. So this should fill us or fill our hearts with hope. That no matter in what kind of reciprocation we want from Krishna, he is there to reciprocate. He is there to fulfill it. So that's a hope. If somebody wants to fight with Krishna, Krishna fulfills that desire also. Somebody wants to come close to him, he creates facilities, facilitates that also. Somebody wants to forget him, he facilitates that also. So ultimately, everything that is happening in the world is based on living entity's desire. And the Lord is simply reciprocating. Whatever situations we find ourselves in bhakti or out of bhakti, in Maya, out of Maya, in the material world or the spiritual world, everything ultimately boils down to the soul's desire. Whatever we desire, the Lord will facilitate. If it is a desire full of devotional sentiments, the Lord will personally fulfill that. And if it is a material desire, the Lord will fulfill it indirectly through His material energy. So everything is happening by His desire, His sanction. Everything belongs to him. But still, when a devotee takes a thing out of his creation and offers it to him, the Lord accepts it and considers it to be very, very, very significant. Because there is love. It's not the thing that is offered that matters. It is the intention with which it is offered. When Krishna went as a messenger of peace to Duryodhana, now Duryodhana also wanted to flatter him. He knew Krishna is some great personality. He didn't realize that Krishna is God because he had no devotion and no love. So he made the best of arrangements, golden vessels and the best of arrangements he made. He was a king of the world at that time. So Krishna went to him and Krishna said, "I cannot eat at your place." Duryodhana was insisting, "You see, you go to everyone's house, went to Vidura's house, you should eat at my house also. Why are you so partial?" Krishna says, "Look, a person should eat in another person's house only because of two reasons." In the Mahabharata it is mentioned. Krishna says, if one is in distress or if the host has some love for the guest. So now I am not in distress. and you don't have love, so therefore I cannot eat. This criteria is not fulfilled, therefore I cannot eat. So we have to offer, we have to make offerings because we need it. It's our need. We get blessed. And so many people try to offer, but then there are so many, especially in India, they try to make offerings, but most of the times it's Srila Prabhupada who clarified, who gave us the essence. But many a times, even those who are worshipping Krishna, although his worship is the highest, but they're doing so with some expectation in mind. That's why we have the system of something called mannat. My dear Lord, if my wish gets fulfilled, I'll offer you this. Now that's not devotion, that's business. That means, if it is not fulfilled, the person will not offer. So this is on a, not exactly on a material platform, because they are approaching the Supreme Lord Krishna, but still it is not pure. And Krishna only reciprocates with pure sentiments. And then Krishna acts as a servant. In the fifth canto, he mentions that anyone who develops love for me, I must fulfill all his desires. So we don't have to go to Krishna to ask for something. He anyways knows everything. In fact, we should try to do something to please him. In fact, the demons also knew this secret, that if we have to get something from someone, we must first do something to please that person. Therefore, they would go and perform tapasya, either to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or other demigods, so that they are pleased with their tapasya. And when they were pleased, then they would ask, because they also understood that if the person is pleased, then the chances of getting what we want are greater. They would also not just go and straight away open their list. But this is happening in Kali Yuga, where people just go and ask. Rather than asking, we have to simply go and try to do something which will please Krishna. When he is pleased, as he has promised, automatically he will fulfill all the needs, all the desires. We don't have to ask separately. Like a child. Here Srila Prabhupada mentions, although when there is pure love, because he is like our Supreme Father, Supreme Protector, in pure love we can even ask. When there is no pure love, initially we should try to do something to please him. But when that pure love really awakens, then that there is no formality involved. And a devotee out of love asks, give me this, give me that. The Lord also asks, and the devotee also asks, which those who are not in pure love cannot understand. That's why Lord Brahma gets bewildered when he sees Krishna's loving dealings with his cowherd friends. He hears that the demon Aghasur has been killed, so he comes down to examine. He was thinking, I have heard that my Supreme Lord, Worshipable Lord has appeared, but this child could kill the mighty demon Aghasur. So when he comes down, he was still doubtful whether this child could be that worshipable Lord. And when he comes down on his swan carrier, he sees something and all his forehead starts spinning. He sees Krishna is sitting on the banks of Yamuna, surrounded by his cowherd boys. That day Balaram was not around. Every time when Krishna went to the forest to herd cows without Balaram, there was some problem. That day he went without Balaram, so Brahman Vimohan Leela happened. His cowherd boys and calves were stolen. Another day he didn't go, so Kaliya thing happened. So Lord Brahma sees this little boy whom he had come to test, sitting in the middle, and all the cowherd boys, they would bring their lunch boxes. And they had so much love. But this is pure love, that they want to offer the best. So before offering their food to Krishna, they would not eat it without first offering it to Krishna. But before offering, they would taste it. If it was nice, they would give it to Krishna. Krishna would eat that. Of course, in offerings, we don't offer, we don't taste things. But this is pure love on which all formalities, they just get dissolved. So then, if it was not nice, they would keep it aside. So like that, the offering was going on. So Brahma was like already feeling dizzy. But then something happened that he almost fainted. So one of the cowherd boys, he had brought some chash. And Krishna said, okay, give it to here. No. So Krishna tried to snatch the bottle or vessel, whatever he was carrying. So the boy, just in childhood we have done that. If we don't want to share anything with the other children, we just put it in our mouth. So the boy, he put the entire glass of chash into his mouth. And his mouth was like, now, because immediately he could not take the chash inside, it was just full. So Krishna, he just slapped with both his hands on both his cheeks. And they got pressed and the buttermilk chash came out and it made a trajectory and Krishna opened his mouth and drank it. And that was too much for Brahma to handle. And that's when he got bewildered. It can't be my worshipable Lord. But these are the loving dealings. Because the residents of Vrindavan, they are at the highest platform of pure love. Therefore, Krishna never steps out of Vrindavan. He doesn't take even a single step out of Vrindavan. So, when we offer, there's no guarantee that the Lord accepts. But one guarantee, Srila Prabhupada used to say whenever somebody would ask him, see, Krishna says in the Gita, if you offer me with love, I will accept it. So we may not see the Lord directly eating. We are not that elevated. We might not be that exalted. Like Raghunandan Thakur could see Krishna picking up the laddu and eating it. But that's where faith comes into picture. If the Lord says, if you offer me with love and devotion, I accept it. And Srila Prabhupada would simply repeat this point. Krishna says in the Gita that you offer me with love, I accept it. So therefore we offer and we have faith that He is accepting it. And when the Lord accepts our offering, then we should consider our life to be a success. So many people, as I was mentioning earlier, they offer. But whether the Lord is accepting or not will depend on the intention. Because the Lord is tasting a bhava. If there is a material desire, it is like contaminated. He doesn't find that much pleasure. Only pure loving dealings, only pure love He accepts. In the 10th canto again, when Sudama comes to meet Krishna. Now what was he carrying? It was some dry, old poha, flat rice. He was so poor, his bones were visible. They hadn't had food for many days. The children were on the verge of dying. So his wife requested him, why don't you go to your friend Dwarkadhish and ask for something. Now she was not asking for her own self. She could not see Sudama. And Sudama did not want to go because he wanted or he felt hungry. He should go to his friend Krishna. He wanted to go because he could not see his wife suffering like this. So both were thinking about each other's pleasure. Each other's happiness. So this is also pure love. Even though he knew his friend is the king, but a pure devotee never asks anything from the Lord, but the Lord fulfills all his needs without being asked. He doesn't have to work. That's intelligence Srila Prabhupada used to say. That we don't work much, but we are still eating, having a good life. This is Krishna consciousness. He used to say, we don't have to work hard to be happy. Krishna consciousness, God's service will make us happy. And happiness is something which everyone is running after. Whether somebody is trying to earn money, fame, name. The goal is not these activities. The goal is happiness. So if happiness is the goal, the simple process of Krishna consciousness is enough without much hard work. You just engage in the devotional service of Krishna and he is the source storehouse of pleasure and everything is taken care of. So Sudama, they did not even have a single grain, and since he's going to meet the king, so he wanted to carry something. The wife went into the neighborhood. She collected something, and what food people give to the beggars, the worst quality poha was given, and that's all they had, and it was tied in a piece of cloth which was also dirty, and Sudama carried it. Now from Dwarka, where Krishna was staying, to Porbandar, it's a distance of almost 70 to 80 kilometers, and they had to walk. So already the poha was quite bad, and then 10 days, maybe 8 to 10 days they walked, and now you can imagine the quality of that poha. And when he comes to meet Krishna, Krishna comes out running, embraces him, takes him inside his palace and washes his feet. Personally, the Lord is serving his own devotee. It is also that Krishna was showcasing the principle of worshipping the Brahmanas. But more than that, it was a worship of his own devotee. He is serving, because Krishna is serving, so Goddess Lakshmi is also, as Rukmini, serving Sudama. And they had conversations, they were remembering their childhood. Then finally, Krishna knew that Sudama was carrying something, but he was hesitant to now offer it. Because Sudama saw Krishna's opulence, he was thinking, how could I offer such a low-class thing to Krishna? But Krishna asked whether he was carrying something. Sudama didn't say anything. So Krishna just, because he knows where everything is hidden, he just snatched it from Sudama, opened it. He said, oh, you are carrying such opulence, opulent food. He took one morsel. And Sudama was shocked. How was Krishna eating this? And with so much relish, Sudama, Krishna says, this is the best food I have eaten. And then he was about to take another morsel. But Mother Rukmini stopped him. Now Rukmini ji stopped, not because she was feeling, kya Krishna itna ganda kha raha hai, what is this? Because Sudama was shabbily dressed, literally shabbily dressed, walking for so many days, and clothes were torn, and body was soiled. So Rukmini ji didn't stop Krishna ke itna. So she is also Goddess Lakshmi, and she understands the essence. She tells Krishna, my dear Lord, please do not eat it any further. Just by accepting one morsel of food, one morsel of this offering, already Sudama has become qualified to receive all the opulences that I can offer. She is Lakshmi. Lakshmi is Goddess of Fortune. He is already blessed now to receive all kinds of offerings because you have accepted it. Now if you accept another morsel, I have nothing else to offer. So I will personally have to go and live in his house as his maid servant. So please don't accept any further. So therefore Krishna, because he is the servant of his devotees, so he accepted her sentiments also. And we know when Sudama went, everything was just grand. His little hut had disappeared. When he reached, he could not recognize his whole house, because everything was changed. There was a huge palace. There were so many servants. They were running around. When Sudama arrived, they were out there to welcome him. And Sudama, first of all, he was thinking, what is happening? So everybody, and he saw his own appearance changed. Now he was wearing the best of royal garments. So his wife came forward. And somehow everything had changed, even Sudama's appearance. But his wife's appearance had not changed till now. Why? Because if her appearance had also changed, she was looking like a princess, Sudama wouldn't have been able to recognize his own wife. So as soon as they recognized each other, immediately his wife also changed into like a beautiful princess. She was bedecked with the costliest of jewelry, costliest of garments. And then they lived their entire life in gratitude that our Krishna is so kind. So even Srila Prabhupada mentions the Lord does not give his pure devotees that can distract them from his service. But when he sees that the devotee is qualified enough and would not get deviated or complacent, the Lord is more than happy to offer all the opulences. He offered to Sudama because Sudama remained grateful. So even though we receive all the opulences from Krishna, whatever we have, whether we are devotees or non-devotees, it is only by the grace of Krishna. All we have to do is simply acknowledge and be grateful. And that will keep us humble. He gave it to Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was given the material opulence and also the opulence of the spiritual world as well. So the Lord is known as Ajita. Ajita means one who cannot be conquered. But the same Lord gets conquered with love. He showcases the principle that what love can achieve, nothing else can achieve that. Even I get conquered. When there is an offering of love, even though everything is mine, but when you offer it with love, I accept it. Just like Surya accepts the worship, even though fire is emanating from his energy, fire and light. Ganga is so great, we can't offer anything, so we take water from the Ganga to worship the same Mother Ganga. Similarly, everything is Krishna's. Everything, whether we recognize it or not, everything belongs to Krishna. So we cannot really offer anything to Krishna, and we cannot really feel proud to offer anything, because everything is already his. But when there is pure love and we take a thing out of his own creation and offer it to him, he is happy and he blesses us. And when he blesses us, our good fortune is created. So we can only hope that whatever we offer, whether it's our chanting, hearing, or we offer chappan bhog or whatever, it is offered with pure intention and pure love. And that means to only please him without any expectation in return. And that's what satisfies his heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.